You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
First time shot comes in. Oh! Jay Cottrell with a screamer! I don't believe it! An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from FC United's big league match with Harrogate Town from Saturday afternoon.
Hi, this is Ray Stubbs. You're listening to FCUM Radio.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. As well as the men's team, later in the show we'll be hearing if FC United women's team could keep their unbeaten run going in the league as the Reds hosted Liverpool Marshall Feds from Sunday afternoon. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start with contract extension news as exciting young first-teamers Michael Jones and Sam Baird have both signed new contracts, which will see them remain at the club until the end of the 18-19 season, while promising youth team prospect right-back Stephen Affleck has also signed a similar contract for the club. Away from the pitch, and FC United have confirmed that the club will once again be opening its doors to Manchester's homeless on Christmas Day this year. Here's Ben with more.
Yes, thank you, Cockers. And as you've alluded to there, the club will once again be opening up Broadhurst Park on Christmas Day to provide some Christmas comforts to the homeless of Manchester. But that's not all. In the coming weeks, the club will also be collecting toys. And the club, of course, will also be hosting its annual Big Coat Day. And for more on this now, we're now joined by the club's very own Vinnie Thompson. So welcome back to the show, Vinnie. A big congratulations to yourself and everyone at the club for organising this event on Christmas Day. It was a great success last year. What's going to happen this time round?
Well, a big change from last year is that we'll have a fair number of volunteers from the two of the charities that we're working with at the ground and engaging with us. The Homeless Manchester Project are a group of just really great people, and they're all volunteers. And in fact, they do Sundays. They're out there now. They do a form of a soup kitchen, but they also do just sitting down and talking with people. They do clothes collections, lots and lots of different things. They're a very switched on group of people. And then the Paul UK, so they work with hidden homeless. Unfortunately, everyone sees in our city now homeless on the streets. You know, they see the sleeping bags. They don't see the people. They see the sleeping bags stashed away for that night's kip. But there's hidden homeless. There's people that become homeless through government cuts, through lots of different things. But one of the areas I want to work with is sofa surfers, couch surfers, young people who might just flee the home through a domestic argument or whatever. And they stay at mates' houses, and they stay wherever they can get, you know, 2 days here, 3 days there, whatever. And DePaul worked with lots of people in that area. So I've got about 20 of these young people coming, and DePaul were working alongside us to provide them with a full Christmas day. And they've got hostel places, and they're given guidance and help and pathways to various help from various authorities.
And we should also say that it's been supported not just by the Homeless Manchester Project and DePaul UK, but we've also had some outside help and support from JW Buckley of Upper Mill, Waitrose, Bidfood and Go Outdoors. What kind of support have these organisations brought to this event on Christmas Day?
I've got a number of other people in as well now.
Okay.
So we'll have to keep updating that. For example, I've got a turkey farmer who's willing to supply us with the turkeys. It is Christmas. A guy who wishes to remain anonymous give me 120 quid I needed for a minibus to get people in and out from city centre to the ground and vice versa. And we're not just going to drop them in from the ground to Piccadilly. We're going to be delivering them to other projects that are carrying on the same sort of work over the day.
And the ground will be open on Christmas Day between 9 a.m. and 2 o'clock. And like you say, there will be a minibus going back and forth from town. And on the day, toiletries and towels will be provided, as well as hot showers. There'll also be a hearty breakfast in the function room and a range of activities as well, including table football, table tennis, pool, Xbox, a PS4 and various arts and crafts. It was a lovely event last year, very, very heartwarming, and it looks like it's going to be another cracking day. We've also got the toy collection as well happening the week of the 11th.
Yeah, the food bank collection went well the other day. The toys that we collect, I preferably want new ones. If someone can just buy an extra toy, if you can, what you've got. I want to work with a couple of women's refuges. So with the help of Frost Foundation, some will go to Frost and some will go to a women's refuge in Salford and also one in central Manchester.
Brilliant.
Frost Foundation, we've had a relationship for a number of years. They do lots and lots of engagement work and they've helped the club in lots of ways as well. And they work with lots and lots of disadvantaged young people and old people.
And those collections take place at the ground on Monday the 11th, Wednesday the 13th and Friday the 15th. Are you looking for volunteers to assist you as well, Vinny, with that collection?
Yeah, if I could have someone who could just man a cage that we can put stuff in. If we can film one of them, I'll be more than happy.
Absolutely. Vinny.Thompson@fc-utd.net, or you can ring the office during office hours on 0161 769 2005. Vinny, just before you go as well, it's a busy time for the club. Obviously, Big Coat Day. Can't forget about Big Coat Day. Is that happening again this year?
Yeah, the first game after New Year. I've already got about three bin bags of stuff. I've got recipients for those, and I also I'll also be giving some of them out on Christmas Day itself. Somebody's donated some thermal underwear, so stuff like that. If anybody's got essentials, one thing I do want is just simple things like wet wipes and small portable deodorants and toiletries.
And we should say about Big Coat Day, that's happening on Saturday the 6th of January. All things being well with the weather at home to Southport, but as you've alluded to there, people could come along for Brackley or for Salford and make donations that day if they need to. And as we said, you can get in touch with Vinny, offering all kinds of assistance at vinny.thompson@fc-utd.net or through office hours on 0161 769 2005. Well, Vinny Thompson, a big thank you for coming on the show. You keep up the excellent work, and I'm sure we'll be speaking to you in the coming weeks about various other initiatives that are going on over Christmas. It's a busy time for yourself, and we'll keep up the good work, and I'll speak to you soon.
Yeah, it's great. Don't forget, charity begins at home. So we always need volunteers for match day for lots of different capacities. If anybody wants to volunteer, now's the time.
FC United Vinny Thompson there, and we'll have more on FC United's community initiatives over the Christmas period in the coming weeks. And finally, This Club Is My Club can reveal that former captain David Chadwick will be returning to FC United as the new manager of Moston United. For more on this appointment, it's back over to Ben, who can speak to Chaddy now.
Yes, indeed so, Cockers, and welcome back to the show, and welcome back to FC United. It's the manager of Moston United, it's David Chadwick. Hello, Dave, how are you?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm all good. So this will come as a bit of a surprise to a lot of our audience, but it's a very exciting appointment, this one. Listeners should be aware of the It'll Be Off programme that you did a while ago with Swampy, where you told everyone about what you've been up to at Chorley through the youth setup. And this is all coming together now under this role at Moston United.
It is. I've been speaking to Damien for the last week or so, and he's been show me how enthusiastic he is about getting a structure in place and, you know, building from within, bringing people back who should never have left the club, and just going about, like I said, the belt of young players coming through to the first team. It's what I've been doing at Chorley and what I've enjoyed doing. And when he mentioned the chance of coming back to, well, home, should I say, I can't say no to it. So I'm looking forward to getting going.
Now, obviously, the Moston United role's a very intriguing one because it's a relatively new setup. It combines a lot of areas because, obviously, it's youth players playing in the men's game and in the amateur game. And it's a very competitive setup. But is that one that you relish getting involved with?
I love a challenge, yeah. You know, I'm looking forward to bringing sides together. You get, obviously, on the open age side, you get the more physicality of the bigger, stronger men, so to speak, against the youthful lads who can run rings around people. And, you know, it's about looking at these players and seeing who'll get kicked all over the show, just keep getting up and carrying on. Or you'll get some great footballers who can't handle it. And obviously, you know yourself, non-league football, it's about people who get whacked everywhere, get up, brush themselves down and carry on. And you're looking for a combination of both. You know, you want the skill and the talent and people who can play at these levels, but they've got to also be able to take a crack, take an elbow, take a kick, which part of my game, when I played, you go on that pitch, he's a good one, Chaddy, give him a crack in the first 10 minutes. And that's what you get. And some of them hide away and you know which ones to target and some don't. And yeah, looking for the ones obviously that don't. And I just want to bring a side together on the under-21s that can handle all that, plus play football the right way, because I'm a firm believer in playing good football, entertaining football, and, you know, producing the players for the first team to go, yeah, George, Harry, let's have a go with him. Let's have a go with him. And it's about building the trust as well from that link up. So if I say, there's a player there, mate, go and have a look at him, bring him into your training sessions, they say, yeah, let's get him in. And I can't wait. Yeah, can't wait to get going.
And this is a part of the other side of the role as well. It's you are firmly being placed here to do the success that you've done at Chorley, where you've identified players not just already part of Moston Juniors or the FC United setup, but wider as well, because there's such a pool of talent there, not just in the semi-professional game, but also the amateur game as well.
Of course there is. I mean, you get players really. There's two different sides to it. You get the players that are released from professional clubs who've been cuddled for the last 5 years, telling them how good they are. And don't get me wrong, they are good. But then it's a wake up call when they come into non-league. But then you've got the other side, the rawness of the players who've never been experiencing any full time football, you know, and they've got all the facilities and they've been growing up on the park pitches and they're raw and they're hungry and they listen. And in a way, fine-tuning a player like that can be more rewarding than getting somebody who's just been released from a club, because from the experience so far, you know, they listen to every word you say, they've no chips on the shoulders, they've not been tried to be moulded into any other kind of player to suit a club, if you get me. So all they've been told is get that football and run. And do this, and you know, I've had one certain young man with me, and he's been an absolute delight, because every time he's done something wrong, he holds his hand up and he works hard, and you get him on the training ground and working up, like Eddie asked him to work on, he does it, and it's that rawness, that hunger that you're looking for. So to me, they're more exciting sometimes than the ones that have been at clubs. And don't get me wrong, they've both got talent. Some of it's just about luck. You know, this kid here has been turning goals in for fun and paying subs on a Saturday, Sunday for 2 years. This other lad got picked up by scoring an hat-trick by a chance when his dad's mate Scout was there at a game. And, you know, and it happens, and it's funny sometimes because you get this big pool and you put them together and you get good results.
Well, I think we've seen that with Kieran Glynn, the famous story. He just turned up for walking football one day and everyone went, wow, he's pretty good. You've alluded to already about that, you know, it's a new area at the club in a way. Damien's already touched upon it in previous shows about the fact that it is a blank canvas in a way, the football inside of the club. And there is clearly some steps being made here with the likes of Jack Dickinson and Tom Conroy joining the first team bench, contracts being given out to youth team players. You're coming into this now as another cornerstone of this blank piece of paper. How do you see it developing over the next few seasons or so?
It's about an actual structure in place. And like I said before, getting a conveyor belt of players. And it's not just like the 21s, which I'll be trying to look after, but it's the 18s, it's the 16s. And, you know, it's exciting times. You want to get players who come in 16, 17, and they want to see progression to the 21s. And they look up to the first team and they want to see a progression into the first team. And that's what we're trying to achieve as a club. And, you know, there's no good bringing good players in and then they look above and go, well, I'm never going to play here, am I? You know, I'm never going to get to that first team. So if they see a door open, like to me, I believe FC United have got, because you look at the players that have gone through now, like you mentioned Kieran Glynn. I was at a game recently, Michael Jones, centre mid. It was my man of the match by far. Great young prospect. And as long as the club believe in youth development, players will want to flock to that club. And for a catchment area like Manchester, it's a great start. And like you said, it is a blank canvas. So there's a lot of work to be done. But on the other side, you know, there's plenty of players out there that will want to come to the club, they'll want to achieve with the club, and they'll want to work hard for the club. And that can only be a bonus for me.
Moston United manager David Chadwick speaking to Ben there on Sunday evening. And welcome back to the club, Chaddy. To the weekend's football now, and on Saturday afternoon, FC United began their difficult run of December fixtures at home to second in the league, Harrogate Town. To find out how Tom Greaves' side got on, it's over to our FC Live team on Saturday.
We'll come to team news in a second, but we should really start with radio commentary team news.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to Emily Maguire. Hello.
Hello.
And welcome back to James Quinn.
Hello.
And welcome back to Roy Sill.
Yeah, right.
My feelings are. Right, anyway.
They're not ignoring you, Ben. They haven't got headsets. And in fact, one of them's not here at this moment in time. He's come back now, so.
But it is now time for team news. So, hello.
That's brilliant, that. who does that voiceover? Because I think that they've got there's a vocation there to do. Was that an Olivetti or was that a Sharp MIDI printer?
Oh, I thought you were talking about motorcycles then for a second. I don't know. Anyway,
Olivetti.
What?
Olivetti. You weirdo.
So, team news, and welcome to Broadhurst Park for this afternoon's league match between SC United and Harrogate Town, which Stato Paul has described as hashtag Dicey December.
It's not. I said I've called it Death Nail December.
It's a tough month coming up, and FC United have got. What do you make of the team?
Well, for the team today.
Yes.
Well, we've got a team that basically there's a finite resource within the squad. He's looked at the performance from Saturday against Marine, and he's changed around a little bit, and he can only do what he can do within the squad that he has. Unfortunately, there's still no one in there that we'd be able to bring in from another club as a goal scorer, but you know, the team today, every player on the pitch I have to put 100% in, and you know, I would hope Matty Hughes who's back in or they played last week, just is a little bit calmer on the ball, doesn't rush into challenges, and makes himself
the trio at the back is Fagbola, Hughes and Corbett. We reckon there's going to be two wing-backs, Senior and Walker. In midfield, though, it's a bit interesting, isn't it? Because we've got one recognised striker and four midfielders there, essentially.
Well, listen, you could play a 3-1-5-1. You know, and although, say, Jones isn't there, he's on the bench this afternoon, but you could play the likes of Scott Kay in a holding role behind the back three. Corbett, obviously, on the left-hand side, being left-footed. Him behind, five across the midfield and one up top, utilising your width and your quality that you've got there. And Greasy is a sole striker. But the thing is, when you've got those two wing-backs that can move forward, they're acting as your strikers as well, so to speak. So, you know, it's going to be interesting.
It's hard, isn't it? Because we've talked about the juggling of resources. We are lacking goal scorers at the moment, and we saw that at Gainsborough, we saw that at Marine, but here at Broadhurst.
Well, it says a lot, doesn't it, when McCarthy's actually on the bench, still is yet to prove that he's a goal scorer, but we've got finite resources, so, you know, he can come on, and hopefully this afternoon, hustle and bustle if needs be, and, you know, that's as much as I think we can get from him, to be honest.
What's your take, Emily, because you've just been listening to us, haven't you? I'm watching our videos and that kind of thing. What have you made of it?
Fortunate to be sat listening, yeah. Yeah, no, I think the changes that are currently in place and the feelings around the club and around the team are all positive ones. Looking at the team today, yeah, we might only have one recognised striker named on there, but we've got some very attacking midfielders amongst that. And I think they will be looking at the Harrogate team, and it's important that we do start to consider, you know, the other teams that we're playing and how they play and what we can do to try and nullify the threats that they have. And I think maybe that's been one of the reasons why certain players have missed out on selection today, and he's gone with that formation and that lineup.
The other thing to say, though, is that, and we've not used this cliche once yet, I'm just a bit surprised, it is a free hit for FC United, essentially, in these kind of games, because...
Well, no, it's not. But look, we're in the National League North. We might not be, pulling up roots, or pulling up trees, I should say, but... We've got a responsibility to go out there this afternoon and do well against a very, very good Harrogate team. It's not a gimme to them, and it's not certainly just go out there and if we don't get anything, then, you know, we weren't expecting anyway. The players are expecting to go out and win the game this afternoon, and that's the mindset that you want them in. And, you know, Tom's going to have to get them G'd up and ready to compete against them. For me, you just matched them today. You matched them all over the pitch. They're a footballing team. They're a full-time team, so they'll pass and move game will be coherent. There'll be cohesion between them passing.
Embedded as well, isn't it?
It is. So they're second nature. So what we're gonna have to squeeze them. We're gonna have to play at a higher tempo. We're gonna have to work the ball when we've got it. We've got to get the likes of Kay on the ball and make him move forward with pace and purpose. We can't afford to be slow, lethargic playing our final third, because we will get absolutely pulverised if we do that. We've got to play a good competitive game, and we've got to take it to the opposition, because, you know, Harrogate be thinking, right, okay, it's going to be a tough encounter, but we can go for the jugular early doors. Well, FC, I mean, the first 20 minutes normally is when a lot of the games are won and lost, and you set your tempo and you set everything. FC can't afford to concede early, have to work hard. And if we can do that and frustrate Harrogate, you know, there's no reason why we can't get a result this afternoon. As this free kick comes in towards the back post, it's a decent ball across, it's a free header and a goal. And as I said, unfortunately, FC United and Manchester just couldn't hold out. And on 25 minutes, it's the visitors who take the lead. It was a very, very inconspicuous free kick, to say the least. For me, never a free kick, but they've made good of it, and it's 1-0.
They have, yeah. They've done so well, FC, so far in the game, and they've kept them out and looked to have matched them. They're good at set plays at Harrogate. They're well worked, they're well drilled, and that was just a long ball into the back post, and nobody really picking up the player coming in.
Walker coming over to join Kieran Glynn over on the right-hand side for this third corner in this sequence. Walker looks to be the man. Kieran waiting for a possible short one, but... Walker, a few paces back, and it comes near post again.
Oh, and he's got it! On goal off Beck.
And a great, great corner from Walker. Came off the defender, but those sort of corners, not easy to defend.
No, ball was delivered in. It wasn't a really high one. It was like driven in, you know, quite low. Beck went to clear it off the line, and basically just let it go in between his legs and off the back of his leg, nestled in the net, 1-1.
A sea of blue shirts in front of the FC defence, and they need a decent ball in, but FC counteracts it really well. And now here comes Irwin. Irwin's ball is a threaded ball beautifully for FC's Linfield. He takes us. Oh, what a great save, really, Linfield. To be honest, the ball came through. We thought it hadn't beat the first defender. It had indeed, but he needed to take that ball in his stride and shot. And he took a little bit of time. It was a great save from James Belshaw, in all fairness. And
yeah,
FC United could have gone 2-1 up there. But it's a corner ball.
It was a fantastic ball. He threaded that through. I thought it was going to be intercepted on its way through. But the most perfect ball from Steve Irwin. Perfectly weighted. Craig Linfield really should have been doing better with that first touch.
Well, the corner comes in. It's a decent ball. Goal! Tommy Greaves at the near post. It was whipped in. And Greaves, the manager, the man on 99 goals, has just put FC United into the lead on 37 minutes, and the crowd go wild, and that was deserved for the work rate of FC United and Manchester this afternoon. They really have put a shift in, and that was absolutely superb. Greaves doing what he does best, getting in front of his man and getting his head on it, 6 yards, 2-1.
Absolutely fantastic. I say the crowd are loving that. Tom Greaves loved that. And it's nothing more than they've deserved. It's been a battle. This second half has been fantastic. Played at such a pace. There's been so many individual competitive situations in there. Lots of battles. But a lovely corner.
James Belshaw, the goalkeeper for Harrogate, kicks the ball long, high, towards FC's penalty area. And it's dealt with initially, picked up by Glynn. Glynn can't afford to lose it there. We'll get a nice little ball towards Senior. Doesn't win that ball. And here come the home team again. It's with the substitute, the 15 outside the penalty area. Plays it left-hand side to Thompson. Is he going to be FC's Achilles heel this afternoon? Well, it's half cleared, and the ball whipped into the penalty towards the back post. There's a free man there as well. Here's an opportunity. Can they score? Straight into the feet of FC's goalkeeper. And anywhere else, if he hadn't been positioned where he was, it was in. But he happened to be in the right spot at the right time.
He was almost falling the wrong way to that as well, though, Arlington. He was expecting it to come to his left-hand side. He stood up long enough. And like you say, either, you know, if it a few inches.
Well, we're into the 45th minute. The ball long. Here's an opportunity for FC United. Manchester McCarthy takes it to the byline. Ball comes across. It should be three. Yes! Viva 100! Viva 100! Tommy Greaves has scored his 100th and FC's third. It was a ball down the right-hand side. McCarthy, to be honest, I thought maybe had taken it a bit too wide. He put the ball across. Tom Greaves was there. Whack into the top corner. And FC United have won this game with only a matter of minutes to go. It's 3-1 to the boys in red. And Tom Greaves has made and scored his 100th goal. What a day for FC. What a day for the manager. A double bubble for Greaves.
Absolutely fantastic. You can see what it means to him, to the players, to his players, to his fans. A fantastic celebration down there, fantastic play. What a ball into to Conor McCarthy. Like you say, I thought he'd taken it too wide, but it was a delightful little ball back across the box. And who's there?
It's Tom Greaves. Came from nowhere, Greaves. Well, I mean, it was if where is, and then he was wallop.
I didn't think anybody was up with McCarthy. I thought, oh, you've gone too wide. You'd be lucky to get in from there. But fantastic.
FC live there from Saturday afternoon, and a big congratulations to Tom Greaves on making it to 100 FC United career goals. Here is Tom speaking with Swampy and James after the match.
Alan Hargreaves, 100 goals for Tom. This was perfect time. 100 goals for Tom. Love watching Rory play, but it's got to be noted his goals were scored at a lower level. Well done, Tom Greaves. Your thoughts, Tom? First and foremost on the two goals today and your 100th,
yeah.
But then overall on the game itself.
The 100 goals seems like it's been a bit of a long time coming.
Oh, it has, yeah. 247 games coming.
Yeah, I wanted to do it within 250 when when it started creeping up. Yeah, it's been frustrating at times because I found myself out of the team and out of the well, I said not out of the squad, but not getting as many minutes as I thought. I can't tell you how many people have told me that it's time to pack up and not carry on, but that feeling there at the end is why I'm still here and why I've been absolutely dying to get them 100 goals, and it lived up to everything I thought it would.
Well, in a game really that you know, you've been working with these players. And you know, you've been there training week in, week out with them now, and only obviously, you know, in real terms, it's your first full week really as the manager training with them all week. You've instilled, is it a belief in there, a newfound confidence? What would you put it down to? Certainly today against a team of the quality that that Harrogate possess. What is it that's what you've changed? How have you able to get a game and win a game like that today?
Just letting them go and have the freedom to have the ball and attack with it. I thought they were absolutely brilliant today. We've gone through the 3-5-2 and we've said the wing backs, Joel and Tommy, we've got to defend first because we love conceding an early goal. again, it came, but we were never worried at all. I thought we controlled the game in large parts. We've worked on it in training. The lads have just been brilliant. I can't thank them all enough. It's pretty much the same squad that we had before. I don't necessarily think it's me that have given belief. They've just got that belief in themselves, and we just look a confident bunch of lads. And it's more frustrating now for the last 2 weeks that you produce something like that.
Yeah, well, but you, as a manager, you're going to go through those peaks and troughs. You're going to have those games where last week, you know, you were open and honest with us. You said that, you know, it wasn't good enough. The players didn't perform. you changed the formation last week to a 4-4-2. And Marine did a number on us. They got in front of us. They worked the ball well. But it's what you do the following game and how you actually affect the game once you've had a poor performance. And today you've done that against you know, a full-time team.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't think we were undone fitness-wise or anything like that. We set up to let them have the ball. They come at us. At times, I thought they ran out of ideas. They didn't really know what to do. They ended up going long. And then when we had the ball, I was absolutely delighted with us. Again, I keep seeing it week in, week out, but seeing Kieran just with the ball, just driving with it, it's unbelievable. And if we can keep all the Kieran Glynn, we've got a bright future.
Well, again, you know, we go back to last week, the bite of the midfield wasn't quite there, but with the return of a fit Steve Irwin this afternoon,
yeah,
him and Josh Falkingham this afternoon, the number four,
yeah,
it was a great for us to watch. It was wonderful to see them both, you know, niggling each other, getting challenges in. They both get booked. They could have maybe on another day, another referee might have sent them both off.
Yeah.
But having that bite back in the midfield and having his quality, then he can play balls left and right. He's a real attribute to have, and it's great to have him back in that team with that extra bit of bite.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we've missed him, and he probably came back a little bit too early. That's why he got the same niggle on his ankle. But yeah, delighted to have him back. I mean, last week it was a completely different game. We need to learn how to win the ugly games, especially when we're going away from home. People get in front and they just defend. And again, like we did today, we've defended for our lives, and we've come out on top. The lads have been amazing. I'm absolutely made up today.
So the young, I mean, you talk about Kieran. What about Tom Walker at the left side? He's particularly in the second half, really, you know, very comfortable on the ball and hangs on to it and full of running. Pleased with him?
Yeah, he's superb. When I first came in, I asked him to do a job at left back because we were struggling with Wiz out and Zach was out suspended. And I thought he did that job very, very well. And then he played him left wing back at Salford. In the first half especially, he just got caught a little bit. Going forward too much.
Yeah.
So that's why we just try to drill it into him. Just defend first. And as soon as he's on the ball, just go and express yourself. And again, he's done that tonight. He's different classes, Tom. He's a brilliant player.
And is that part of the reason for the three at the back? Because then you can release players like him and Joel more.
Yeah. Obviously, we're conceding goals. So we thought if we stick three in there, hopefully tighten that up a little bit. It has worked to a certain extent, but I think going forward, it helps us a lot more, and we can get Tom and Joel or whoever's playing out there forward. And again, they've done brilliant today. They're getting up there. They've got great engines, both of them. Same as Joel Logan, if he plays. And today we put the balls into the box and we cause them problems. And I think they well deserve 3 points.
And I mean, is it a mystery, isn't it, how the same group of players? I mean, the way that there's so much good football being played by the team today, and what it is that some days it just doesn't happen. Have you got any sort of insight into why that is? It's just the inconsistency of non-league football at
yeah,
this level.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, like you say, it's the same set of lads. We've just tried to give them a belief in themselves. We're happy with them all. We think we've got a good set of lads. We've got a good squad. We probably need to still add to it. We've only got 16 or 17 players to choose from. We probably need a good squad of 20, 21. Potentially some different type of players that when we do play the away games and come up against teams that are just going to play ugly, we need probably a ratter in there that is just going to break play up. But again, on the ball today, we're just superb.
I think you do yourself a disservice, in fairness. I know the same group of players, but what you seem to have done is, if you look at the shape of the team this afternoon, and I think the 3-5-2 was a masterstroke, really. We did it a few seasons ago with very good two centre-halves that have gone on to play league football. But to do it here at a time where we were conceding goals and use those as wing-backs and having the exuberance and quality. But that all is based upon your work rate on the training pitch. And regardless of whether or not they're the same players or not, you've got something different out of them. And you've got a quality that has been there in the past and a more consistency now. And that's got to take credit to you and your the new management style because you know they're working hard. The work rate against a full-time team matched them for fitness as well. So take the plaudits, because basically, I mean, there's one here from Helen Murphy saying, Tom, you are the epitome of FC United. Congratulations. And I think, you know, I know you don't want to take the plaudits, but you've got to do that because the shape of the team, we've been up here for many a season looking at other teams with the shape that they move forward together as a unit. That's FC United at the moment here. Yeah. You're watching the way we're playing as a unit. You've got them working. There are a couple of things that off-air I'll have a chat to you about that I think we could improve upon. No, actually, there are a few, but you know them anyway. But you've got a team of youthful players with a little bit of experience in there, and you should take the credit for that because you've got them working on the training ground, you know, set pieces and so on and so forth.
Yeah, no, if you'd have asked me 2 months ago, I would have said 4-4-2 all day long. But we played that the first couple of games, and we were just a little bit short in the midfield, so we thought, how do we how do we not let them get too much on top, basically, through the midfield while keeping two up front? So we went for the 3-5-2 against Salford just to give it a try. Obviously, in the Manchester Cup, gives the young lads a chance. And we haven't looked back since. Sometimes we make mistakes as well. Like, we did change the shape last week against Marine. We probably shouldn't have done. Probably should have just stuck to our guns and gone for it. Mm. But yeah, we wanted to keep that midfield packed out, but we also wanted to keep two up front as well. So that's why we've gone for that. And fair play, we'll take the credit for it. Well, if you're saying that.
And of course, we're having the wing backs and the youthful experience they've got. I mean, no Logan in the team today, but Walker. You know, he comes from pedigrees. You know, he's been playing pro club and young senior on this right hand side. It gives you that real opportunity. You know, the 3-5-2 can actually work out as a 3-3-3 more than anything, because you've got those bombing up with you and getting the balls in. And we must talk about the third goal this afternoon, because, you know, the three changes that were made. Just a quick question in regards to that. Are those decisions that you leave to Tom and to Jack about substitutions, or is it what you have in mind whilst the game is in progress or before you've had a chat, say, look, if we get to this stage, we'll do this or that? Because it's very difficult for you as the manager on the pitch to decide who you want to bring off and on. Are you leaving it to those to make them decisions?
A little bit of both, really. The players on the pitch will relate to me. Linny came up to me today and said, my groin's struggling a little bit. So I went over and told the lads. The first one was just down to them. Stevie had been booked, obviously. So they're clever lads. They know what they're doing.
I thought that was a very clever decision to bring Stevie Irwin off, to be honest. I thought it was the right decision at the right time because... either if those two had carried on, one of them was going to go. But good, so it's a combination of both.
Combination of both, yeah. It's got to be like that. I can't make every decision on there. You can see a lot more from down there and up here. So, and
would they ever have the authority to substitute you without asking? Sorry, that's an entertaining question.
It's a good one. I'm glad you asked that.
Was it Gainsborough the other week when he said they were going to take myself or Connor off, and then number nine came up? So obviously, I think
it'd be really funny if they did that and you ripped your shirt off and stormed down the tunnel.
I'm not coming off. No, I know myself. If I'm not having the best of games, I'm honest with myself. I know. Obviously, I'm a footballer as well, so I'm frustrated to come off whatever the
situation.
Of course,
And you're selfish. You want to stay on the pitch all the time, don't you?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Like today, if they'd asked me if I was wanting to come off, I'd have said no, because I felt like the goals were coming, and they did, and I enjoyed them.
Well, that third.
Yeah. Where did Tom Greaves come from?
I mean, McCarthy got the ball, and we thought possibly he might have just taken it too far down the right-hand side, and he whipped the ball in, and you're like Lord Flashart from Blackadder.
What I've been known for my pace all through my career.
Well, of course. I mean, actually saying that, he does himself a disservice, because when he was a younger player, he was lightning fast, absolutely lightning fast. But you appeared out of nowhere. I mean, it was literally, we commented going, and McCarthy's on the left-hand side, right-hand side, I think he's taking it a bit too far. The ball's from, where's Green? Goal! It was like, where have you come? I mean, you checked and came back. That must have been a great feeling.
Oh, unbelievable, yeah. Sometimes it's not, it's just the areas that you're getting and wanting to go score goals. When a player's playing with confidence, they want to go score goals. If they're not and they haven't scored for a few weeks, then you're a little bit different about getting in areas, but you've just got to want to go score goals, and there's no better feeling in football than scoring goals, and there's no better feeling than scoring goals in front of this lot, and to get 100 is beyond my wildest
goals
imagination.
And it's 3 points, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is.
That is the added bonus, that's the big bonus, really, because I know even if you got your 100 goal and it had been a draw, you wouldn't have been happy.
No, not at all.
Or a defeat after the performance second half-wise, so you know, you've got the 3 points. You've got the 100th goal. We move now on to a big game next week here against Brackley. And again, it's back to training. You'll be looking at new players coming in as well, looking at new players. I know you're doing that at the moment. Yep. You've got people out there training to see what they're like.
Yep.
So it's a big week for you again.
Yeah, of course. And the lads know that. And obviously, if other players are coming in, they're a bit wary, looking over the shoulder if they're going to get the shirt or get the nod. So maybe that's one thing that's brought it out of them today again, just getting confident on the ball and going and playing. We've got so many good ball players. And they just expressed that today, and they've been great.
FC United player manager Tom Greaves there, following his side's excellent 3-2 win against Harrogate Town on Saturday afternoon. To find out now where that result leaves FC United in the league table, and for all the other results from a busy afternoon in the National League North, it's over to Marv Willers for another edition of Marv's Sports Report. Marv.
Yes, thank you, Cockers, and hello everybody, and welcome to another edition of Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. Well, with that superb win for Tommy's Terriers, FC United have now moved up the table and now sit in 15th position. Sure, 3 points above the relegation zone, but only 7 points from the playoff position. That's right, dear listener, it's back on. Elsewhere, and thanks to that FC-inflicted defeat for Harrogate, Salford have now moved 9 points clear at the top of the National League North, following a 1-0 away win at fourth-placed Blyth Spartans, while Brackley Town moved into second spot following an excellent 3-2 win over mid-table Stockport County. While Spennymoor stay in fifth due to their match against Telford being postponed due to excess snowflakes. Bradford Park Avenue stay in the playoffs too, following a good 3-1 win at Alfreton, and Kidderminster sit in the final playoff spot following a 3-0 win against Gainsborough Trinity. Just outside the playoffs, and Chorley beat Leamington 2-0, but York City dropped points, losing 2-1 at Boston United. While Tamworth drew three all with Southport, with former FCer Jason Gilchrist scoring a hat-trick for the West Lancastrians. Ker-ching. And lastly, in more ways than one, it finished North Ferriby 0, Nuneaton 2. And that concludes this week's edition of Marv's Sports Report. With me, Marv, farewell.
Thanks, Marv. FC United return to action this weekend with yet another big game at Broadhurst Park on Saturday as FC host promotion-chasing Brackley Town. Admission is £10 for adults, £6 concessions and under-18s £3. Kick-off on Saturday will be at 3pm. But remember, if you cannot make this match in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live from Manchester on Saturday afternoon from 2:30pm on www.fcumradio.co.uk. The women's team now, and on Sunday afternoon, league leaders FC United hosted Liverpool Marshall Feds reserves in the league. To find out how the Reds got on, it's over to WT Live.
Hello everybody and welcome to Broadhurst Park. You join us here on a, well, I say every autumnal day, but it is an autumnal day, stroke wintry day in December for Women's Team Live. It's FC United of Manchester against Liverpool Marshall Feds in the North West Regional Women's League Division 1 South. A very important game this afternoon as FC United look to continue their superb run up at the top of the North West Regional Women's League Division 1 South. Currently unbeaten in the league and have opened up a bit of a gap since we last spoke. That was against Warrington Wolverines last week. A 6-0 comprehensive victory for the women's team. And, Luke Podmore's side looking to continue that run this afternoon. We'll give you the team news in a second or two, but I'm joined by Stato Paul, who's now frantically inputting the numbers. We've got the numbers this afternoon for Liverpool Marshall Feds reserves. But I'll give you the FC United women's team first. In goal, and this is team news, Gemma Jackson is unavailable for selection today. In her place is Chloe Ainsworth, who came on as a substitute last week. No real reason for it. Luke Podmore just... We were 6-0 up, so thought, well, put Chloe in net. Did a very, very impressive save in that game. So very capable and got international pedigree as well, we should say.
From what Luke says now, we've got two high-quality goalkeepers to perm from. So the days of having a temporary goalie are hopefully gone.
And at the back, we've got Fran Davis, Abby Carrington and captain Chelsea Patient, unchanged from last week. Right wing back, we've got Yvette Lukes, although she doesn't really play right wing back. It's more just forward. Left wing back, we've got Jess McCarrick, who started there last week for the first time and was impressive enough. In midfield, we've got Rebecca Foster, Cara Fields and the ever dependable Olivia Greenall, and up front, Jess Battle and our player of the match last week, Nicole Hatcliffe. The substitutes this afternoon, we've got Amy Vias, came on and played a blinder last week in my opinion, Fran Sullivan, Beth Tattersall, Mia Holden, and coming back after a 14 month layoff, Beth Hayes is back on the substitutes bench. A welcome return to Beth Hayes, Paul.
Yeah, she's obviously been much missed over the years she's been out. And she'll be itching to get a few minutes of game time, I think, today.
I should say, in the programme notes, for those people wondering about Kirsty Chambers and Fliss Winters, they're recovering well. And it's going to be a few weeks, though, before we get them back. But they will be coming back. That's the important news. And it's going to be a corner taking short. Here is Foster now. Foster back to the corner to take a Lukes. Lukes can get this ball. It wasn't the best of passes though from Foster. And the ball is cleared onto the Ronald Johnson playing field. It's going to be a throw in 18 yards or so from the The Marshall Feds corner on the left-hand side. McCarrick throws the ball back to Carrington. Carrington chests it. Controls it. Plays the ball infield to Fields. Fields now. Plays a long ball over the top. Lukes is onside. Good touch from Lukes. Good volley from Lukes. What a goal that is. And I tell you what, Paul. Lukes scored a goal last week and we never credited it to her. But that is three proper good world-class goals from Yvette Lukes this season. That is a superb finish there. On 43 minutes, FC United take the lead.
Well, maybe she thought about the chance she had a few minutes ago where she could have shot and she crossed it instead, across the box. That time she was ruthless. And the Trafford Branch 2 sponsor, of course.
The ball is out of play for a corner. 14 minutes gone in the second half.
I think what Fran Sullivan does is she brings other players into the game.
Space, Paul. She creates space for the players, doesn't she?
Well, she releases the ball at the right time and she also has an eye for goal, which is priceless.
Well, it's going to be Yvette Lukes to take this corner from the far side. It's going to be an outswinger. In it comes. It's towards the near post. It's cleared by the number 10. Chelsea Patience under it. Ball breaks the battle. Lays it off to Fields, who shoots. What a shot! What a strike from Cara Fields. My goodness. What's that? 28 yards out. Belts it into the top corner. The goalie had no chance with that.
That was an absolute blistering shot.
Carrington plays this ball to McCarrick. And Liverpool still on the ball, but there's McCarrick winning the ball back. Jess McCarrick, a couple of Phil Nevilles are still going now down the left-hand side with the ball infield to Battle. There's a give and go there. McCarrick back on the ball. One-on-one with the keeper. Oh, what a finish. Oh, simple stuff there. But so very effective. A couple of Phil Neville step-overs. Who knew Phil Neville could be so effective? She left one of the players on a bum, carried on going. Simple pass, a 1-2 with Battle into the penalty area. And a pass, she passed it into the net. It's beautiful.
That was a goal of real quality and beauty, wasn't it? It has to be said.
That is full-time here at Broadhurst Park and another fine afternoon for FC United. Not only a clean sheet, three important points, three important goals, and FC United remain dominant against Liverpool Marshall Feds and remain dominant in Division 1 South, Paul.
I think Liverpool Marshall Feds put up a great performance today. They put a lot of effort in, they worked really hard. Two centre-backs, absolute quality. And it means that Jess Battle and Nicol Hatcliffe had a very hard afternoon to try and make any headway. But the team quality shone out again. And we have to say that the three goals that were scored were all absolute quality goals.
They really were. Yvette Lukes is, broke the deadlock on 43 minutes. It was an hard afternoon in that first half particular. But Yvette Lukes dinks it over the centre-back and volleys it right into the top corner. On the hour mark, Cara Fields pops up with a belting strike from 30 yards out to the goalkeeper's right. No chance. And then Jess McCarrick with a fine, fine goal.
It was the run. It was the exchange of passes with Jess Battle, and then the cool finish in close to goal, where she just rolled it into the net. A nonchalant finish and a great goal.
So next up for FC United is a game next week against Northwich Vixens away from home. And then we finish off the Christmas period with an away encounter at Stockport County Blues. But at the moment, FC United are looking pretty formidable. Stockport County Blues are in eighth at the moment. Northwich Vixens are ninth. It's going to take some stopping now, FC United. I know we're coming up to the halfway mark in the season. But
well, we started the afternoon 9 points clear. So we're at least 9 points clear tonight. I don't know how the Wolverines got on. Obviously, we'll find out later. The goal difference has taken us out of sight in terms of goals. So goals and points-wise, it's looking very good for promotion at this point this season.
I don't want to jinx it, but FC United are looking pretty formidable now. And some fine displays. We gave player of the match to Jess McCarrick. But we have to say it's been a proper team effort this afternoon. There has been some, as Paul rightly says, some cracking displays from Liverpool Marshall Feds defence in particular. But FC United have taken 3 points, grinded out a result, and that's how you win championships. And here at Broadhurst Park, we thank you for listening. But coming up for podcast listeners are the post-match thoughts of the women's team management. But FC United, march on. Big thank you to Statopol for joining us this afternoon. It's finished here. FC United at Manchester 3, Liverpool Marshall Feds Reserves 0. And we'll see you all very, very soon. Bye-bye.
OK, I'm here with head coach Luke Podmore and midfielder Louis Greenhall. Been with us plenty of years. Liv, notched up another clean sheet today for the team, but I think two clean sheets have got to come from the midfield, haven't you? You've got to protect the defence.
Yeah, definitely, especially when they break quickly, then we've got to win it back straight away before it becomes dangerous. But I think we did that today, and yeah, it's a good result.
Yeah, exactly, 3-0, and that's our 50th last week, 51st clean sheet this week. But that's what you said last week, didn't it? You'd rather win 3-0 than 7 or 8-1.
Yeah, it's dead important. Like I say, we always say that, you know, it only takes one goal to win a game, so you keep them out the other end, and then you end up getting 3 points every now and then. But we base everything on having a clean sheet and building from the back, so I thought the players were excellent today, out of possession, in possession. Yeah, we defended as a whole team today, and it was great to see.
A lot much closer game than last week. Did you notice anything different when you were on the pitch, Liv, between when we beat them 13 last week at their place rather than 3-0 this one? They seemed to close us down a bit more.
Yeah, I think they were up for it, definitely. I think they had a few new players as well, but they were on us straight away and they were marking quite tight. So it was a bit of a different game, and their pitch was very wide as well, so there was a lot more space when we played away. But no, we coped.
Yeah, and we managed to hold them out, which is exactly what you need. You've got to make sure that you lead from the back, and we did that. We pretty much don't think they had any meaningful shots on target, and we had quite a few that were nearly goals as well. How many scuffles in the penalty areas were there? There was quite a lot, weren't there?
Yeah, we created a lot of opportunities there. We always create lots of opportunities, and it's always up to us to make sure they go in the back of the net, but. You know, when you have young games, when sometimes it don't feel like it's going to go in for you, and you score three special goals. All three of the goals that we scored this afternoon were absolutely outstanding. And to be fair, it was probably going to take something like that to do that. So we were really happy that we managed to keep persisting, keep being patient, and the goals followed.
Yeah, maybe it was one of those games where they were too busy marking Jess and Nicole that everyone else was the ones who were getting them in. Yeah. They came from obviously two from midfield and one from Jess, which was a nice solo run down the wing, but. It shows that the goals can pop in from any corner.
Yeah, and that's what we're trying to say. Every game we looked at, we've never had someone scoring, just one person scoring all the goals. It's always been a good distribution of all the goals around the team. And sometimes the people who create the goals as well, people put on a plate for some people, and you've got to give them credit as well. So
absolutely. So we're away next week, as long as it's on. We haven't had too many of those this week. Recently, Northwich Vicks.
Yeah, fingers crossed that gets put on again, so we can keep a bit of a run going. Sometimes not great having a bit of a break, so hopefully we can keep the players active, and like I say, the game's on Sunday and we can get another 3 points.
Absolutely. So get down to Northwich, 2 o'clock, and watch the girls win hopefully another game.
Yeah, perfect, Neil.
Thanks very much.
And just to confirm that with that win for FC United and Warrington Wolverines' victory over Crewe on the same day, Luke Podmore's side remain 9 points clear up at the top of the league table. And on that happy note, that's it for this week's This Club Is My Club. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 12:30 on www.fcumradio.co.uk and on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.